Good morning. I haven't been up here for a little while. Normally, first service, I have an apologetics class in the room over here. That's where we're learning to defend our faith. And then second service, we have a high school group there. So if you're in high school and you're not normally going to that, you might check that out. okay, so this morning, I have a key question, and that is, is it reasonable to become a committed follower of Jesus Christ? Is it reasonable? Is that a reasonable request? I see some nodding, some hesitation, some nodding. Is it reasonable? Now, I'm not talking about just being a spectator. When I say being a follower of Christ, I don't mean, you know, you came to church and you sang the songs. I don't mean that you listen to K-Love radio in your car. I don't mean all of those things. I mean, are you a committed follower of Jesus Christ? And maybe before we can answer that, we have to go further and say, well, what are you saying? What does it take? What exactly are you saying? What does it take to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus tells us in Mark writes about it and says, then Jesus called the crowd along with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Hence the little icon. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, I don't know how you view taking up your cross, but a cross represents suffering. Jesus Christ died on a cross. So when he's telling us, take up your cross, he's getting really serious. He's saying that what you're going to be doing is going to be suffering. You're going to do something at a cost. This is not fun and games. I am asking you to be a follower and take up your cross. Deny yourself means that you don't get to do everything that you were hoping to do. That it's not all about our dreams and about making God do the things that we want for us. That is not what he's saying when he says to be a follower. He's saying that we're taking up our cross, that we're willing to suffer to follow Jesus Christ, to become a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's ask the question again. Is that reasonable? Is that a reasonable request? Well, in Romans 12, Paul also speaks about this. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Very similar. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And notice he calls it reasonable. So as far as Paul's concerned, this is a reasonable request to take up our cross, to be willing to suffer, to make ourselves a living sacrifice to follow Jesus Christ. And some of us might be saying, okay, that's Paul. Of course, Paul's going to say that. He's an apostle. Those apostles, they're crazy. You know, they'll want you to do anything. But I'm just regular old Bob. You know, it's just me. I'm, you know, whoever you are. Like, you know, I'm not an apostle. I'm just, you know, I go to job 9 to 5. You know, whatever, I go to school, whatever it is you do, you know, that's not, I'm not in, he's probably not talking to me, he was talking to the apostles, right? And Jesus was talking about, Jesus was also talking to the crowd, it said, by the way. And in this case, he's writing to the Romans, and they're not apostles, they're just people. So he's saying to the everyday person. So let's consider for a minute how Paul is saying this, or what's the background behind this. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I beseech you. And I want to look at this for a moment and consider Paul's background. The Apostle Paul received revelation directly from God. So I would say he's probably in a position to know. He knows what's going on. He has a clarity about what the true reality of this world is. And so when Paul is saying that, he knows that God is looking at this world from out here. And that he is this magnificent creator that is able to see. I'm looking at America, and Colorado is right about there. And he can look down and he can see little old Bobby sitting there. And at the same time, he can see all of you. He can, including that, he can see the people over here in Asia. God is omniscient. He has this ability. He was able to create the whole universe, and he has the ability to see all of us. And what's even more important than he has this ability to see us and be aware of us, but what is fascinating and wonderful is that he loves us. He does. He loves Bobby. And he loves you. He loves you. He loves every single one of us. This God that has so much power, so much of everything, knowledge, you name it. He's eternal. He loves his creation. So Paul's writing with this understanding, with this absolute clarity, he's writing to us about sacrificing. He also goes on to say, I beseech you, or I should say with that background, he says, I beseech you. Now, the beseech here is, that's a word we don't use too often, but it really means to like urge strongly, to exhort, to encourage. It's something that you're reaching out. It's like I'm begging you, like please, understand. I need you to get this. He's not making a command so much as he's just saying, please understand what I'm saying. So he's saying, I beseech you, brethren. And consider Paul's writing earlier in this book. He's writing to the Romans in this letter. And you can see that he cares about these Romans when he's writing this. He's saying, I always remember you, and I always ask in my prayers if perhaps now, at last, I may succeed in visiting you, for I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that we may be mutually comforted by one another's faith, both yours and mine. So Paul, in his beseeching, he's showing that he cares. I beseech you. I care about you, therefore, brethren. Then he goes on and he says, by the mercies of God, and that by is the Greek word for that, the word that he actually wrote, okay, is dia, which means like by or with or because of, on account of, because of the mercies of God. So he's beseeching you. I'm begging you, people. I know things you don't know because I have got them directly from God. I know things, and I am begging you because of God's mercies. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, earlier in this same letter, he writes about that while we were yet sinners, or in this case, still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's mercy. We were in our sins. We had no hope. But in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, perhaps someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the kind of mercy we're talking about. Or Paul speaking of when he says, because of these mercies, I'm beseeching you. So he's saying, if we just kind of put that in a picture form, he's saying, because of this amazing love that God has for his creation, that he's beseeching you. I want you to understand, people, because of God's mercy, because of his forgiveness, because of what you have in him, because of your eternal hope, I am making this plea. And what is this plea again? His plea is that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. Again, that matches what Christ was saying in Mark, where Mark said, if anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So Paul is saying essentially what Jesus is saying, and that is that we're to give ourselves to God. And it's reasonable. He explained why it's reasonable. And Paul's begging you, if you would just give yourself to God, this is so worth it. Look what he's done for you. He's everything. If God is real, then give yourself to him. And what does he mean by giving himself to him? It means everything that I wanted, I need to put aside. It means that if my life's all about this dream for a career, that is not to take priority of what God has for us. To give a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, is saying, I am yours, God. What do you want from me? Not how can I use God somehow to get what I want, or how can I include him somehow in part of my life? How can I, like, I'll carve out a little time for God today? That is not the question here. He's saying, I'm begging you to give your whole life to God. Make your life part of his, not make him part of yours. See, it's give ourselves to God, all that we are. Giving up our sin, giving up our addictions, giving up our hopes and dreams that we had to make this life a certain way so that we could enjoy it. He's saying, sacrifice all of that. Give your life to God. That's what Paul's saying here. Now, is this a white-hot, emotional, enthusiastic response that Paul's asking for? If I could get you all psyched up and we're all like, yeah, let's go do it! And then next Thursday, it's like, okay, that was fun, but let's get back to business here. No, I don't think that's the case. Paul is not asking us just to get fired up. He's asking us to be committed followers of Christ. Committed followers, presenting our life a living sacrifice to God. Why? Because it's actually the only thing that makes sense. It's the only reasonable response. If we consider this truth, if we believe deep in our heart that we're not just sitting on this world and it's just spinning in this universe and that's all that's going on. If we believe that there's truly a God and everything that we are, everything that is our existence, our very being, is because there is a God and because this God loves us and cares about us, if that's true, then what other reasonable response is there? What else makes sense? How is going about our life and just including it here and there in our life, read my Bible in the morning maybe a bit, and then do my thing, and then maybe get to God, you know, on Sunday or something. That makes no sense if you consider this reality. Which is why Paul is begging them. This is the only reasonable response, is to give our life to Jesus Christ. Which is why Paul says it after making that plea to sacrifice. to make a living sacrifice to God. He says it's your reasonable service. Now, you might be saying in your mind, okay, you make a good argument, but I got some things I need to do, so maybe a little later on in life, I might sacrifice. Maybe after I graduate from college, maybe after I have the kids, or maybe after I raise the kids, or maybe after I retire, or maybe after, you know, the amount of excuses that we can make is longer than the dictionary. Would you agree? I mean, we can make excuse after excuse after excuse, and we can put it off, and it's our human nature to never really embrace the reality of what's going on here, and because to embrace it is just too much, it's too costly, so we put it off and think, well, I need to do some other things first, not right now. Most of us will agree it's important, but not today. I need to get some things together first. Not now. And I'm telling you, the time is now. The time is today. The time is right now. The time is now to give ourselves to make a living sacrifice to God. Holy and acceptable. To say, God, my life is yours. I want to talk about three girls, good friends of mine. They're in my youth group. I see them several times a week. We have a Bible study, of course, on Sunday night. We have them in Sunday morning. We also have a discipleship group. So I know them really well, and I'll tell you what, these three girls, they're only in high school, but they have not said, wait till later. They've not said, well, wait till after I graduate, wait till after I get married, after I have kids. They have not said that. They said, I want to live for God now. Now. And I want you to consider all the things that they're doing. They're extremely involved. Like, some would say too involved. I don't. By the way, I didn't put them up to doing all this. They do it all. They teach, they serve, they mentor, they lead, they evangelize with their friends. They do these things that are not a fan at a Bible study. They talk about God at lunch. They're involved in WANA, Kids Quest. They go to Maranatha. They do all kinds of stuff. They're busy serving God because they believe that that is what life is about. And they're young. There's no time to wait. The time is now to sacrifice our life for Jesus Christ. You know, at the end of the summer, last summer, Cece, the one in the middle, she decided she wanted to start a Bible study that was just for students, and it was only led by students. And I, my first response, and I didn't say this, by the way, these girls are over here. I didn't say this to them, but I was thinking, are you ready for that? But I kept my mouth shut, and I thought about it. I said, what am I thinking? That's stupid. You know, let them go. Where in the Bible does it say wait until you get a certain education before you share Christ with your friends or lead a Bible study? It doesn't say that, right? So I totally held back and thought, that's wonderful. The only bad thing is I'm not invited. That bothered me. I'm like, I want to be invited. I know you're doing a wonderful thing. And they asked me how they should do it. And I thought, just start it as a small group and just the three of you enjoy it and grow and then bring your friends and just see how that goes. And they wanted to do it at Starbucks. And again, I was like, Starbucks, like all these people around and everything, that's what they wanted to do. And I was like, yeah, that's great. So this was not my idea, none of it. I have nothing to do with this Bible study. It's just them. And so Cece wanted to get this thing going, so she got her two friends together, and the three of them started meeting. They planned this thing, and they started this Bible study at Starbucks here right by the King Supers, and that's what they started doing. And now they have about 15 kids every week that come, and they study the Bible. And again, I was kind of like, this has been going on since the end of August, and I never get a go. So I was thinking the other day, like, and I was telling them, I want to see your study. I mean, this is, and they wanted me to come, but I was like, but I want to see it like in your environment. I want to be a little wallflower somehow, and I wasn't sure how to do that. So I said, I think I'm going to like dress undercover. I think I'm going to spy on you guys so that, and they're all for that. So I said, I'm going to spy one of these nights. And so finally I decide, okay, here I go. I'm going to spy. And have a quick little video. I really didn't plan it. I was going to go and I was like, honey, you should, my wife. I said, videotape this. Just, I don't know, just do it so I can do it. So so here is my spy adventure to see their little Bible study. So I finally got a shot of what they look like. So it looked like a good study. I kind of wanted to stay. In fact, I kind of wanted to say, here I am, but it was kind of serious, so I kind of thought I'd be messing things up to say anything. But again, my point is this. Is they're not waiting. Are you waiting? Am I waiting? What are we waiting for? It seems like sometimes there's never a good time to start. We can go on and on and on, and our excuses, you know, we might feel like at the end of this, and at the end of whatever our current excuse is, I'll be ready. And my experience is that there's a new excuse ready to back that one up. The time is now. The time is now to give our lives as a living sacrifice to serve God. The time is to forget our dreams, our hopes, all of the things that we thought life was about, and to get real and to understand there really is a God out here. There really is a God that wants to be part of your life. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that wants you to respond to that love and to serve him with all of your heart, soul, and mind, to give up whatever it is that's in the way of you serving him. That is what God is looking for. Now, truly, every single one of us are saying in our mind, well, okay, again, maybe that's a good point. Paul makes a good point there, but is it worth it? I mean, you're saying sacrifice my dreams, my hopes. I was planning all of these things, and I could see where God might fit in a little bit here, but you're asking him to make him the center of it all, to make him my purpose of my whole life. Is it worth that? I want you to consider where Paul was. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he was under great persecution. Beyond anything that any of us could ever imagine experiencing, as far as persecution goes, Paul was experiencing it. And listen to what he says. Therefore, we do not despair, but even if our physical body is wearing away, our inner person is being renewed day by day, for our momentary light suffering is producing for us an eternal weight of glory for far beyond all comparison. What she's saying is the persecution that he was experiencing for preaching Christ was worth it all. Because it is clear from his writings, and again, he had direct revelation from God, it's clear from his writings that there is rewards for sacrificing our life for Christ. And he's saying that those rewards are so great that you can't even compare them with whatever you might experience on earth. It's not even, it's so beyond comparison that you can't even like, you can't compare it. It's just, it's a stupid comparison. It's stupid. We're talking about eternal rewards compared to temporary light suffering. Not even comparable. Because we are not looking at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at the eternal picture. I want an eternal life where God is pleased with me. I have no idea what these rewards look like, but I want him to be pleased with me. I don't want to be in a regretful situation where I said, why didn't I just suck it up while I was on earth? Why did I mess with things that were trivial? But why didn't I get more serious? And I just pray that we won't make that mistake, that we will give our life as a living sacrifice, give up whatever it is that we thought was so important and decide right now, right today, that this is what I'm doing. I am giving my life as a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, I know that what Paul is asking, what he's pleading with us, is hard for us to swallow, Lord. We have so many things that we want to do. We have dreams. We want vacations. We want good times. We want to be happy, Lord. And I know that you promise us a peace and a joy heart, but it's just hard to believe. It's hard to truly get our arms around the fact that you're really, really, really out there and that you really, really love us and that you really want a relationship with us and that we really have an eternal. Lord, all of that we believe in our minds, but help us to believe it in our souls. Help us to walk by faith in the truth that we know has to be true, Lord. Help us to make the only reasonable response, which is to give our lives to you. And if you're here this morning and you've never actually even made a connection with God, I pray that you will think seriously about that, that there is a God out there. We know in our hearts there's a God. And I pray that if you're in that boat, that you would reach out to God and ask him to come into your life. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. Trust in that love. Trust in the fact that he sent his son for you. That he loves you. And ask him to come in your life. We ask this in your name. Amen.